Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 27th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is indeed hour two of two, and our goal remains the same, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our blueprint. After all, it is the supreme law. We also believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders, brilliant, and the solution to America's problems, pure application of the principles that made America great, could do it again. At one time, we were the economic engine and envy of the world. How did that happen? The answer is pure application of the principles that made America great can do it again. So we don't stand for a revolution, but a restoration. No doubt is in order. The question is, are you going to help or hinder our efforts? All right, news the networks refuse to use starts now. We're talking about Donald Trump last hour quite a bit. And election 2016, Ann Coulter joins Trump in what they call epic smackdown. Trump, by the way, though, made a huge tactical error, in my humble opinion. Huge. Looks like Trump had a little press conference with the Republican National Committee, and Trump just told the GOP brass that he will forego a third-party run. Now, that's the, in my humble opinion, the key issue where Trump had leverage over the Republican Party to have them back off and treat him with decency, a little bit of kid glove kind of scenario. But now, if he really truly foregoes the third party run, then you know what? He's lost a lot of leverage. Now, it might be that Trump will say that to the Republican Party, see if they'll treat him decent. If they won't, he might still change his mind. Time will tell, because this is turning politics into a circus. Nevertheless, Trump just told the GOP brass that he will forego a third-party run. Time will tell what that's going to do, but it'll change the game for sure. And I submit the media is starting to take off the gloves. The epic Trump takedown underway. Trump said that he's proud that he kicked out Univision's George Ramos from the event the other day. Now the question being asked by the mainstream press as they take off the gloves, is Trump a bullying bigot? He's a bully because he wasn't kind to Megyn Kelly. He's a bigot because he's against George and telling George to go back to Univision, which is, you know, go back across the border where you came from. It's kind of a bigoted idea. They're trying to make mountain out of a molehill with these comments and twist them into something they may or may not be. Nevertheless, that's what the mainstream press does when they want the epic takedown. Now, George Ramos, by the way, he is a news anchor for Univision. He's like the Walter Cronkite, if you will, some say, of the Latino news. And the Univision is like the fifth largest network in America, folks. It's not tiny. When you get Megyn Kelly and Team Fox against Trump, all right, and then you get George Ramos and the Hispanics against Trump, you're starting to build a real diverse coalition against you. And I mentioned last hour that I think Donald Trump is kind of living by the three-pointer. But you can live and die by the three-pointer, if you will. He's always looking for the latest scandal to keep himself atop the polls and in focus in the news. But when you live and die by the three-pointer, when you have those long-shot hopes to do well, it can do you so well at times. But if you're off, it can do you so much damage. And that's what I see is happening here. So he offends Megyn Kelly over a woman issue. He offends Ramos, and it turns into be a, quote, racial issue. It's not going to be long to where he makes a mistake here and a mistake there. And pretty soon, the Trumpster will not be as well revered as he is now. Now, George Ramos is speaking out via his own networks. Now, they try to tell you that most news people are like, you know, they leave their opinions to themselves and they just kind of like report the facts and stuff. But they say George is different. I believe they're all different. They just cloak it better than George does or hide it. But George is well known for his commentary, his opinions on what he would call undocumented immigrants. And he stands for the immigration cause. Nevertheless, he's been very outspoken, very opinionated about that. And so Ramos speaking out against the Trumpster big time as well. George Ramos, quote, right now, Donald Trump is, no question, the loudest voice of intolerance, hatred, and division in the United States of America. Let me say that again. George Ramos, Univision, fifth largest network in television, well-known anchor, well-liked by the Latino community, to say the least. George Ramos, quote, right now, Donald Trump is no question the loudest voice of intolerance, hatred, and division in the United States. Think about that kind of a statement. Now, while they're trying to paint this picture that Donald Trump is a bigot, that Donald Trump is the enemy, that Donald Trump is a racist, I find interesting things happening. Because I believe they're trying to create a race war. Now, they say this killer of the two news anchors on TV wanted a race war. Now, they're pushing for a race war on all fronts, whether it be comments from Donald Trump, whether it be the Black Lives Matter movement. They're trying to make you believe everything is about race or sexual division or whatever you want to say. Division of the sexes, division. Okay. And so here's what happened. Black Lives Matter. Think about that statement for a minute. If I say Black Lives Matter, am I suggesting that white lives, that Asian lives, that Latino lives don't matter? What if I say white lives matter? Am I a racist? But if I say black lives matter, it's not a racial statement. It's okay. See, in my personal view, all life matters. I don't esteem my life above a black person's life, as my life is more important. I think to God, his children's lives matter, right? Well, I bring this up because for some reason, the black community is able to say black lives matter. And no one brings it up to say, well, are you saying white lives don't matter? But they won't do that. If I were to start out, if I would have coined the phrase white lives matter in the beginning, they'd be like, so you're saying black lives don't matter? That's where they would have gone for sure, and you know it. Well, it gets worse because now the black community has some spokesmen who have put together a video. And the video is on the internet, and it basically says 24 questions that black people have for white people. 24 questions that black people have for white people. Now, I don't understand this. Could I have created a video that said 24 questions white people have for black people? And if I had done that, would I get kind of like rock star status airplay for my video? Or would I be totally promoted as a bigot? It's kind of the question, huh? I'm just saying it's a weird deal. But these questions that are asked are just astonishing. I don't know if you've seen this video, folks, but this is interesting. I've got the sound clip of this. And I'm going to try to play some of this here. 24 questions black people have for white people. All right, let's see if I can get this thing fired up here. Yeah, come on.
Why do you always make such horrible decisions in horror movies?
Why do you always make such horrible decisions in horror movies? That's a black question for white people? I don't know who they're talking about, but just so you know, I don't know if I'm making my comments to the black community or to society at large. I don't know why I'm dividing the two, but this question forces me to. As far as I can tell, it would be the, quote, playwright or the movie producers that are making bad decisions. Are they suggesting that they're all white and that this elite, warped Hollywood contingent represents all white people? I think that's an interesting twist in the first place. But I would ask a question. Why is that a white-black question? Just wondering.
It's not cool to split up.
Why do you freak out when black people are cast to play white fictional characters?
Why do you freak out when black people are asked to play white fictional characters? Well, let's just ask the question the opposite. Why do you freak out when white people are asked to fill in black roles? I would add to the question, why would you freak out if I called for equal representation in the NBA based on populational research or reality? There should be a whole lot more white people in the NBA just for their pure extraction of societal norms and numbers, right? I don't understand why we're asking black and white questions in the first place. I find their video very racist and interesting.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so they say this shooter of these live anchors on TV wanted to spark a race war. I submit that they've been trying to promote a race war in the government with politicians for quite some time, from Ferguson right on through. Some of these cases is amazing. And for some reason, the blacks are really pushing the envelope here. First off, Black Lives Matter is an absolute racist statement. What about All Lives Matter? I would never suppose to say that, well, maybe we ought to start a talk show host's lives matter. You know, my life is worth more than yours, ain't it? No, see, that's preposterous. That's nuts on parade. That's crazy. To God, all life matters, doesn't it? All right, but these black people are now asking questions in a go viral video. Many organizations are talking about this video. It's 24 questions black people want white people to answer. Racist is all get out. But here's a question that they have. Listen.
Big deal if Idris Elba plays James Bond. I would go see it twice.
What?
So they're saying if a black person plays James Bond, they'll go twice. All right. Listen up.
Is a big butt and big lips considered attractive on a white woman, but they're unattractive on a black woman?
Now, what are you talking about? Why is big lips and a big derriere attractive on a white woman and not on a black woman? Who says that? You look at half of these singers in America today, or actresses, and many of them are black, and they've got big lips and big derrieres, and many people consider them incredibly attractive. Now, I'm not here to debate the body parts of other women. I've got a wife, and I think she's attractive, and I don't care about this other stuff. I'm just making a point. Who says that? There are many, many, many black women who culturally would be considered very attractive. White and black people alike would say that. Now, that doesn't mean that you'd want to be with them physically just because you say, you know what, she's pretty, or whatever the case may be. What do you think about these questions, Kurt Crosby?
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? And your point about the fact that, hey, Black Lives Matter is definitely a racist statement, and you illustrate it perfectly by saying, hey, what if I came out and said White Lives Matter? Everybody would be like, whoa, you know, and, you know, it's just part of the whole division and the divisiveness of, at least in my opinion, many times there are people that benefit from division or fights or war or whatever you want to call it, confrontation in society, and they're typically your lawyers, judges, folks that kind of enjoy a little bit of crime.
Now, I'm going to give you a chance to prove you're not a racist here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Women who are white who have big booties and big lips are beautiful, and black women who have big lips and big booties are not. Whose lives matter more? The big booty, big lip, white or black women? Whose lives matter more, you know?
They both matter. Yeah.
What? Yeah. How can you say such a thing? See, that's the point that I'm getting at is, would the black person who promotes the Black Lives Matter or who promotes these 24 questions that black people have just got to ask white people right now, would they agree with you that both matter equally, Kurt?
I would hope so.
Agreed.
But, you know, at least in my opinion, most of them would. Now, your media that's trying to stir it up and trying to rile folks up, you know, that loves what they call if it bleeds, it leads. Like, you know, yesterday you saw that story of the individual getting shot live on camera.
Yeah, and that one they were forced to make the bleed lead that time, though.
Yeah, so that one.
But now Kurt Crosby's driving down the road with somebody that I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what color they are, nor do I care. I hope both of you, because your life matters equally to me, arrive safely to your destination, sir.
Is that amazing or what?
Well, that's how I feel. I just, you know, hope you and your friend make it there safely. That's all.
Yeah, I think you're definitely a racist by that statement.
And we're not even talking about big lips or anything else, Kurt. Whoa. All right, now listen to the next question.
Y'all really think Miley is the one who created twerking?
Do you all think Miley is the one that created twerking? The idea is that, what, Miley's white, isn't she, Kurt?
I guess, yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Yeah, so, see, she didn't develop twerking, Kurt. You understand that the black people developed twerking, right?
Okay.
Now, it's not a claim to fame that I'd like to attribute to, so I'll let them have it. But I guess what I'm saying is, do we have a problem about Miley and twerking because she's white and she's not as good at it as maybe a black woman doing the same thing? Is that their assertion, Kurt? If so, then isn't that, I don't know if I dare say this, but wouldn't that be the pot calling the kettle white if they were to do that? They just got through asking why we think white women are more beautiful with body attributes than black women. Then they just said, hey, Miley's not the one to start twerking. We were. In other words, black women throwing around their bodies is more than important than a white woman. Who cares who started twerking? In my opinion, it's an immoral practice that ought to be rejected by all good, common sense people everywhere.
Yeah, good point.
But I'm the bigot, right? All right, here we go.
Yes.
Really?
Why am I supposed to teach you how to twerk?
Why am I supposed to teach you how to twerk? I don't even know how to twerk, she says.
I don't know how to twerk.
Why is it that white people always act as though they have discovered a new trend?
Why do white people always act as though they have discovered a new trend. Kurt, when was the last time you felt like you discovered a new trend, sir?
I don't remember that.
I'll tell you when the only time I've thought that in my life. Are you ready?
All right.
When we decided to become talk show hosts and the new media took center stage and we felt like we could change the game and report the truth for a change. That was pretty novel at the time.
Yeah, good point.
However, I don't think that I've started a trend. And do the black people think that everything they do is a trend? Well, maybe it's that the mainstream press helps them create trends, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Because
yeah.
if a white guy does something, he's like a nerd. You know, they have that song out, White and Nerdy, don't they?
Yeah.
What if I were to twist it and call it Black and Nerdy, Kurt? Could I do that?
Like they say white men can't jump or...
Yeah, know, see, that's my point is that, okay, that's all okay. See, I think it's wrong. I think it's bigoted and racist.
Yeah.
Why don't we gauge people? I mean, even Martin Luther King, like him or don't, at least he wanted to gauge people on their characters, which I concur with. All right, here we go. Listen.
When people of color have been doing it for virtually years.
Why is it when a black woman wears her hair natural, it's seen as inappropriate? But when a white woman does, it's praised.
This is the hair that I was born with, so you wearing it as a trend is not cute.
Like, can you appropriate my student loans? Can you take that off my hands?
Why is it that white crime is seen as an isolated incident, but black crime is a representation of my entire community?
All right, so two things. Why can't a black woman have her hair natural? Well, who says they can't?
Yeah, I didn't know they could.
Now they go on and they talk about hair more and they say, you know, it seems to me that white people always want to touch black people's hair. Well, just so you know, that's a cultural thing that everybody does when something's different than what they're used to. So you take a white person with blonde hair and put them in some of the Latino cultures, everybody wants to touch the white girl's hair too, Kurt.
Yeah,
it's not that it's a racial thing that people hate or whatever. It's just that whenever something's unique and different, people are like, wow, I've never seen that before. That and their curiosity gets them. I don't care what culture it is. White people may want to do that to a big afro, but yet when a very blonde woman goes to some of these countries where there's only black hair or whatever for the most part, it's such a unique situation. Everybody wants to learn about it. But that's not a hate thing. Or an anger thing. It's a, you know what, whatever's different. You take a very tall person and put him in any population, and they go, wow, I wonder if I could even touch that guy's shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
Or you put a midget or a blind person or anybody different, and people are going, wow, how does that blind person dream? Do they see in their dreams? How does that blind person kiss a girl? How does he know where her mouth is? How, you know, and people ask questions about anybody that's different than themselves. This is just curiosity and natural interest. This isn't anything hostile. It's not racist. All right. When we get it, and this is the next question, when we get into society, why is it that if there's white crime, that it's an anomaly, and if there's black crime, it relates to the whole community or race? I'm going to answer that in just a second, because you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We're not afraid to take off the gloves and discuss this. They asked the last question, which is, I find fascinating. We'll tell you about it in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So we're talking about this very racist agenda of Black Lives Matter. All lives matter, folks. I don't want to talk about black. Why are we adding that racist, derogatory term on there? All lives matter, folks. Secondarily, now they want to know why if a black person commits a crime, then it relates to their whole society. But if a white person does it, it's an anomaly. That's the what they say that I believe or I think because I'm a white person. Here's the question.
Why is it that white crime is seen as an isolated incident, but black crime is a representation of my entire community?
When we see a story on TV about a white serial killer, I don't automatically assume that all white people must be serial killers too.
Right, neither do I. Kurt, did you last time you heard about black crime, are you just thinking all blacks are criminals? All blacks are serial killers?
No.
Okay, now, there is some factual reality.
Occasionally, though, on that whole serial killing thing, I'm thinking, which kind of Wheaties, Captain Crunch, you know, what is it that they're...
Yeah, Kurt wants to kill cereal. There you go. All right, but what I find fascinating about this, Kurt, is if you look at the statistics on crime, blacks are guilty of a significant portion of rapes and murders and etc., way greater than their proportion of society. So if you people want to take on this discussion and you want to use race as your litmus test about this, you're going to lose. Because factually, just go into the inner cities. Black people are killing more people, blacks and whites, than anybody else. Now, I personally believe that's not because of race. It's because they don't have a father in the home. It's because they don't aren't taught about God like they used to be. It's that drugs are rampant in the streets and people affiliate with gangs and this mentality. Okay, there are other factors. I don't believe it's a racial factor at all, personally. But the reason I bring it all up is to say I don't believe all black people are serial killers. I have friends that are black, and they're certainly not serial killers. Okay, this idea is absurd. However, you know what? There are inner city communities that have serious problems. And if you really want to take off the gloves and talk about that, because we'll start whipping out statistics, and good luck, you'll lose. All right, here we go. Next one.
Why does talking about race make you feel so uncomfortable?
Is it because you think that you'll be perceived as racist if you talk about race?
You don't really believe that racism is over because we have a black president, do you?
Why is it so easy for you to...
All right, there you go. Kurt, do you have a hard time talking about race?
Not really, that I know of.
Now, let me explain to the audience. You and I were in Washington, D.C. Sheriff Richard Mack was going on a Russia Today radio program, and you and I ended up in the studio with Richard Mack. And we were sitting outside in the what they call the green room, which means you're waiting to go on TV. And, Kurt, as far as I understood, there were me and you, and then there were some black ladies in there.
Right.
And just so you know, we all started a dialogue. We introduced ourselves to each other. We had a great conversation. I consider them acquaintances, very nice people. They told us about their lives and about their sons are being abused by cops. We identified with them. We taught about how wrong it was for cops to abuse anybody. And we actually did a radio program with these black women about their circumstances. And we identified with them and agreed that those circumstances are abusive and wrong and they need to be stopped. I wasn't afraid to talk about race with those women. And I didn't think that they were serial killers, for sure. And I thought they were very nice women, and they had a serious issue that needs to be addressed to the American people. And the mainstream press wouldn't touch it. So us in the alternative or new media absolutely took it on. Why? Because we think they have a valid point. That's why. And, Kurt, I wasn't afraid of them. They weren't afraid of me. We weren't afraid to talk about race or issues at all. So when these black people want to make these assertions, here's my response to them. Why don't y'all line up and come on the radio and debate these issues with me then? If you think I'm chicken to talk about this with you, then I'll bust out and offer my airtime at my expense free to go ahead and touch on these difficult topics, shall we? How many of them are going to take me up on it, you think, Kurt?
No, I don't think so.
They're welcome at my expense, sir. Just laying down the gauntlet of truth, okay? That's how we roll. All right, here's the next question. Listen to this.
Why does talking about race make you feel so uncomfortable?
Oh, shoot. All right, we got that
you
one.
You think that you'll be perceived as racist?
What do you say, perceived as racist or painted as one? Hold on, perceived as a racist or painted as one? See, that's really the discussion, isn't it? See, when I start talking about this, they're going to have to deal with some very tough questions. Am I perceived as a racist or am I painted as one? Or am I really one? So you got to really ask those questions.
It's over because we have a black president, do you?
Why is it so easy for you to notice when there are no white people around, but you hardly ever notice when there are no black people around?
All right. Why is it so easy for you to notice when there's no white people around, but it is so easy for you to notice, why is it so easy for you to notice when there's no black people around, or vice versa, right?
Right.
Why is it so easy for white people to notice if there's no white people around, but you know, they don't notice if there's no black people around. And vice versa would be true. And here's my response. I'm a blind person, and I don't really know who's around by color. Don't care either. But let's take this debate or discussion out of fairyland and into reality land, Kurt. You take the average black person. You throw them into a very white, affluent neighborhood. Do you think they'll fear for their life? Do you think they'll be scared? Do you think they'll be treated with decency?
I think so.
For the most part, there might be a little bit of distancing because people are wondering, what are you doing here and what are your intentions? Because they don't normally don't see them there. But there won't be open hostility. There won't be any fearing for one's life. There will be a little bit of skepticism like, hey, what do you got going on here? What's happening? But that's about all. Now, what if you take the average white person and throw them in the hood, bro, and they walk down the street in the hood? Think it's going to be all cool?
No.
What if you take a black girl and you let her walk down the street in the nice neighborhoods, in the white district, so to speak? You think she'll be okay?
I think so.
Do you think they'll rape her?
I don't think so.
Do you think they'll mock her and catcall and whistle at her and talk about her big lips and whatever else?
No.
No.
I think so.
What if the white chick that's attractive walks down the hood?
I'd be worried about
it. I'm going to risk it. They might call me a racist for this, but here's what it's going to be. Come here, baby. Right? That's how it's going to start.
Yeah.
What you doing in a neighborhood like this, baby? You need someone to go ahead and give you some protection. Come here, honey. I'll take care of you. Right? That's how it's going to go, isn't it? Don't tell me it's not, because I'll basically do a case study and put it on video and highlight that sucker and put it on YouTube and prove you wrong if you tempt me.
They did that a while back, didn't they?
Yes, sir. That's why I say I'll just grab the video and repost it. Yeah. Okay, all I'm telling you is that these questions are not honest questions, Kurt, and they don't survive the scrutiny test at all. Here's the next one.
Why is your goal to be colorblind?
There's so many different types of people in the world, yet you can't see color?
No, I can't see color, by the way. But that's a different topic. What do you mean I want to be colorblind? I don't want to be colorblind. I don't want to pretend you're not black. But what I want to do is get past that as a bigot point, or past that as a determining point of who you are. I want to basically be fine with the fact that you're black and that I'm white. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is one treating the other less than because of that reality. What I'd rather do is say someone's black, someone's white, great. Celebrate your culture, celebrate your heritage, celebrate your history and who you are, marvelous. But let's get past that and talk about character. Talk about content of one's life. So it isn't that I want to be colorblind, but I don't want the white guy to not get into college because the black guy's on a special privileged government scenario either. See?
Good point.
That's the problem. I don't like these divisions, and I don't like this black versus white trump card to manipulate the reality. Why don't we just simply say, fine, you're black, I'm white, so what? We're on an equal playing field and let the best man or women win.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you'd have more whites in the NBA if you did that, huh? Just wondering. All right, here we go.
Why do you want to say the N-word so badly?
If I don't use it, what makes you think you can?
Why do you always want to touch our hair?
Who told you?
Okay, hold on. First off, I don't want to touch your hair, okay? I've never tried to touch a black person's hair. Okay, I don't go up to black women and want to touch their hair. Personally, I'd like to touch my wife's hair, but that's just me. All right, now, but when you say, why do I want to use the N-word so bad? When was the last time I wanted to use the N-word so bad? What are you talking about? Your rap songs are full of the N-word, and you act like I want to say it? Okay, I don't want to use the N-word. I don't want to use any derogatory word towards anyone. Why do you ask questions that assume things about me that flat out are not factual or true at all? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to suggest I want to use the N-word? I don't. Barack wanted to use it, and he did.
Good point.
I didn't and don't and think that it's wrong. But you know what? Why can a black person say the N-word but a white person can't? Can I ask that question? Huh? Why can a black person use the N-word with impunity and a white person becomes a lightning rod if they do it, huh? Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, those who haven't seen me or who don't know me personally, I have a buzz cut like a Marine. My hair's really, really, really short. Why does everybody want to touch it and run their hands across it and say, man, your hair's so soft and stuff? Why do they want to do that? Are they racist? Or is it just a little different? They want to see what it's like and learn, and they're curious. All right, here's the next question in these 24 questions that black people want to ask white people. Listen carefully to this one.
Why do you feel like having one black friend makes you a cultural expert or not a racist?
Is your only black friend comfortable with being the reason why you can't be racist?
By that logic, then I'm not racist. I have a ton of white friends.
All right, look at that. What are they talking about? I'm not a racist. Because I'm not a racist, because I'm not evil, and that I don't believe that one person's above another. I believe in the doctrine codified in the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. That's what I believe. And I don't care if I have a black friend or not. That's beside the point. I also subscribe to the doctrine the Savior put forth, biblically speaking, which is, you know what? We're all God's children. And he loves us. And God is no respecter of persons. And all who come to him can be saved. Okay, that's the doctrines I believe in. Now, whether I have a black friend or not is beside the point. Never mind the fact that I have many black friends. In fact, I have black columnists that write for me. But that doesn't make me a cultural expert. And it also doesn't prove that I'm not a racist. I hope that what really becomes the gauge of whether I'm a racist or not is how I treat other people. All right, just saying.
Why do you feel comfortable cursing at your parents?
Why do you kiss your...
Who on earth said I feel comfortable cursing at my parents? Okay, you guys are off your rockers. You're asking questions that are so far out of bounds and so far out of reality that you've lost your marbles. Why do you assume such things about all white people? That's racist as it could possibly be. Next one.
Why do you kiss your dogs on the mouth?
How come you can't pronounce...
Why do you kiss your dogs on the mouth? I don't kiss my dog on the mouth, thank you. I don't have a dog. And even when I did, I never kissed my dog on the mouth. Have you lost your mind? I kiss my wife on the mouth. All right. I don't even kiss my kids on the mouth, for crying out loud, okay? I kiss them on the cheek. All right, here we go. Here's the next one.
Pronounce black names like Quvenzhané, but can say names like Schwarzenegger, Galifianakis, and LaBeouf just fine.
Why can't I pronounce certain names and other ones I can pronounce easily? What's up with that? I don't know. Same reason you guys have trouble pronouncing certain words. People from the South say things differently than people from the North or the West, and they're all white, for instance. But when you say, why don't you ask me a question? I can say, why don't you ask me a question? Why do you do that? Well, again, I'm not here to down anybody or mock anybody's language. But what I'm telling you is there are differences in speaking within all communities. Why do white Africans have an accent? Well, because they're from Africa and they speak multiple languages. And why do people from the South speak differently than the people from the West? Same reasons that educated black people speak differently than uneducated black people. Okay, that's why. There's different cultural realities based on one's upbringing. Why, if you take a black person and let them be raised in a white home, do they speak like a white person? Okay, this isn't a racial thing, folks. This is a reality check. Okay, I don't at all believe that I can't pronounce a black name like Shaniqua different than a white European name or something else. Certain names are hard to pronounce, names that I'm not familiar with or used to. And depending on the origins of that name, that language may be harder or easier for my pronunciation to handle. Why do Chinese people have more trouble getting rid of their accent than, say, Filipinos? Because certain languages are easier to handle for the tongue and the teeth and lips and the gums. And okay, come on. You guys are making a mountain out of a molehill here in your attempt to create racial divide. You're nuts. Why are you people so crazy and make everything a racial issue? Why do black Southerners and white Southerners have the same Southern accent different than a white or a black Northerner, huh? How come? I don't know that race could be the blame, could it? I don't think so.
Why do you feel like all lions' lives matter, but black lives don't?
Why is it?
What? I don't even get that. I think all lives matter. How many times do I need to tell you that?
Why is a lion's life in Africa more important than the lives of black people here in America? What did Simba ever do for you?
I get it. Lion King was an awesome movie. But so was Selma, and so was Malcolm X.
Why is it so...
Okay, there you go. So why do lions' lives matter more than black people's lives? No one ever said they did. That's the mainstream press at work against you and me and everyone else. My question to you is this. Why does the black thug that gets shot down in the street like Michael Brown's life matter so much that we spend a year of almost domination in the media, but yet the baby that's black that gets murdered at the abortion mill on a daily basis by the hundreds, why does that not matter? See, the fact is they're playing us all for suckers, and they're using the race card to divide us all and pit us one against another wrongfully so, and we're all not smart enough to see it. And what we need to do is jettison the bogus mainstream press slash government slash black and white leaders who have an agenda. Why don't we jettison that and say we're all Americans? I don't give a rip what color you are. I do care about how you behave. And if you're kind and gentle and peaceful and you work towards the God, family, and country, protection of life, liberty, and property goals that I work at, then you're my friend and I want to spend time with you. I don't care what color you are. In fact, I probably won't even know what color you are. In fact, I'll have to rely on you telling me what color you are, and I'll have to believe you to even know. And I still won't know. Unless maybe I put my hand in your hair, and then I might guess. Okay, good luck. You can put your hand in my hair, too. And what if you cut your hair as short as mine? Would it be a lot different? Just wondering. Here's the next question from these people.
Why is it so hard for you to acknowledge your privilege?
Why is it so hard for me to acknowledge my privilege? It's not hard at all. You want to know the truth? I was born in a nice neighborhood to parents that had money. I think that's an absolute blessing, and I think it is a privilege, and I have that privilege, and I'm grateful for it. Now, if you're suggesting that jettisons the hard work I've had to do to get where I am, you're wrong, and I would hope for, quote, privilege or opportunity is what I would call it. What's the difference in privilege and opportunity? The answer is how you look at it. I would hope for opportunity for all people everywhere. I'm not denying my privilege. I've been blessed. There's no question. I'm not going to pretend that's not true. Are you off your rocker? It's absolutely true. I've had plenty of food in my belly. I've had plenty of clothes. I've had nice things. Am I sad that others don't have that? Of course. Kurt?
The point, at least, of that part is that they say that, well, see, it's not fair, you know.
Well, I'm not here to debate if it's fair, but you're asking me as a black person why I can't admit that I have privilege. And I just told you that I can and I do.
And that's what they're trying to promote, though, is this idea of socialism that you take from that group because, you know, you shouldn't be able to have that privileges. You shouldn't have those things.
Well, I would like to lift you up to have the opportunities that I've had, not bring me down to have the lack of that some others have had. Exactly. And I say that for all people, regardless of race or color or creed or even how you say the word ask.
Good point.
I'm asking y'all to work together. Oh, is that a Southern term? I'm asking you all to please work together to bring opportunity to everyone.
Yeah.
You got a problem with that? All right, here we go.
How does it feel to not be the spokesperson for your entire race at any given time?
Must be nice.
What? How does it feel to not be the spokesperson for my race at any given time?
How does it feel to not be the spokesperson for your entire race at any given time?
Well, it feels fine. I never wanted to be the spokesperson for my race at any time. I don't mind being the spokesperson for liberty. I don't mind being the spokesperson for God, family, and country. I don't mind being the spokesperson for the protection of life, liberty, and property. But I never said I wanted to be the spokesperson for my race. I'd rather be the spokesperson for good decency for all everywhere. I'm just saying it feels fine. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Must be nice.
There you have it, man. Yeah. Why do you guys as black people feel like it's okay to say white people can't jump? Well, because they can't. That's why. Okay. Good luck with that. I guess I don't care about those things. I believe that God gave all kinds of people talents. And I think it's important to use our talents to build up, not tear down, to unify, not divide, to work together for the betterment of all mankind. And by the way, that includes women, too. And I don't understand the questions that were asked, Kurt, but I find them incredibly offensive because they're not true, primarily. And I find them incredibly racist. Kurt, you want the final word?
Well, Sam, I don't know how much to emphasize what you've said, but the fact is all lives matter. And, you know, and America, the way it's set up, the way it was intended to be, makes it so that everyone can have, liberty, freedom, and all the blessings of God here in America. That's the way it was supposed to be.
You know, they talk about the glass half empty or glass half full idea, Kurt, that kind of mentality or viewpoint. And it kind of makes me think of this privilege versus opportunity discussion. Yep. We want to debate it from a privilege, half empty idea that you got yours and I can't get mine? Or do we want to look at it as an opportunity idea? And the idea is, how can we provide more opportunity for more people everywhere? I would like to look at it that way. And I'm here to help and to do the best I can for all people everywhere. And the best thing I can do for all races is to promote the principles that will grant liberty, which really in turn means opportunity for all. All right, thanks, Kurt. Travel safe.
Thank you, sir.
There he goes. I'm just telling you right now, these questions baffle me. And if you guys think I'm afraid to talk about race, why don't you put me on CNN with the big boys, and I'll take on anybody in the world over the race issue and talk about it till the cows come home. LibertyRoundtable.com. We the people can restore America. This nation shall endure.